It's the CougarFan.com Rise and Shop Podcast, episode 250. I am your host, Adam Mangum. Matt and I do all the things in this show that make our show what it is. We make bold predictions, we talk football, women's soccer, and women's volleyball, we diagnose what's wrong with the BYU defense, and we play our favorite game, Answering Machine, with an appearance by a very special guest. This is the CougarFan.com Rise and Shop Podcast. Get all of your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Join us on Facebook at Facebook.com/RiseAndShout. And listen to us in our 250th episode right now. Matt, it is the 250th episode.
Woohoo!
6 years. 6 years. Is that a soda that you just cracked open?
It is. It is a soda I just cracked open and I'm now pouring into a
You know, you could stay close to the microphone so people can hear you.
I was trying to hold my drink up to the microphone, but the pop filter got in the way, and I think I got Mountain Dew on it.
Well, I will not be joining you with a soda, because I'm doing Aquatober.
You're doing, excuse me?
Baking powder? Aquatober. I'm just drinking water.
Isn't tight.
This month.
Do you know that they make Dr. Pepper from water, right?
Yes, I'm well aware, but it happens to have a few other things in this. My wife and I are trying this. I'll be back on the Schneid on November 1st, don't you worry.
Yeah. Good luck to you.
We'll see if she listens this time.
What? You're only going to drink water?
Yeah, so far. So far, so bad.
So I met with a nutritionist
once. It's depressing.
And they had me keep a food journal for 3 days. And so she's looking at it. She says, oh, this is pretty good. You did a pretty good job. Was there something different going on this weekend? Something, you know, were you working a lot or something? It seems like a lot of Diet Mountain Dew. So, no, it's pretty typical. And she said, well, you need to be drinking a lot more water. If you can drink that much soda, you can drink a lot more water. And I said,
what?
You know, there's water in Diet Mountain Dew, right? She was not amused.
But wait a second. You don't want to drink more water. If you're already drinking soda, you're going to get bloated.
Apparently, that wasn't her concern.
It's not dehydrating. You're not drinking salt water. I don't know. I was only
partially paying attention. It had been a couple hours since my last do.
Four and a half, five years ago, I saw Jerry Seinfeld here in Minneapolis, and he went on this whole thing about hydration. And how he doesn't ever remember growing up feeling dehydrated, right? But now everybody's worried about their hydration, you know?
I think it's an American thing, that dehydration. I think it's an American thing. We've become strangely obsessed with it.
Yes, we have.
And
yes,
it's mostly because of the marketing, which is amazing, for Gatorade.
Well, hey, I love marketing. I'm a marketer. Good marketing. So, Matt, we've got a lot packed in for the 250th episode, and we're calling it our 6th anniversary spectacular.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like I should have gotten you a gift. I always show up to these things unprepared.
Yes, well, that's kind of a theme for the past 250 episodes, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So, we've got tons of tweet bag questions. We're going to, of course, talk about the football game on Friday night against Toledo that took 6 months off my life. And we are going to talk here in a little bit also about what's coming up with Michigan State. And Matt, spoiler alert, the Spartans aren't very good.
Yeah, hello. I'm sure we're going to get to that, but Sparty.
So we'll get to that, Matt. But first up, let's head to the tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
So Justin Sweeney.
Sweeney.
That's at Justin D. Sweeney. Says, do you think we'll still be talking about Big 12 expansions in 250 more episodes from now? # kill me now. # is it over? # tweetbag. Matt, on episode 500 of the Rise and Shout podcast, will we be talking about Big 12 expansion?
The Big 12 won't exist by then. And are you sure it's not # I sit over?
I sit over? could be.
Yeah, I don't could think be. The Big 12 is going to exist in 6 years.
No, they're going to exist in 6 years. Stop it.
I don't know. I actually, think we're going to have self-driving cars.
Well, hoverboards. Cards, hoverboards. Jackets that dry themselves. Why am I just pulling up things from Back to the Future? So Matt.
I just drank that whole Diet Mountain Dew. We're just starting.
Yeah, we haven't even got out of the intro yet. We're not even 5 minutes in.
I must have been dehydrated.
Okay, so Matt Quinney, that's at @Matt_Quinney on Facebook, El Chambone.
Is that a word? Is that an actual word? What is a chambone exactly?
I don't know. I'm not. Are we supposed to be saying it over and over again? I'm not sure.
Well, I don't know. Google that. The censors ought to come in. Yeah, I'm afraid to Google it. Google something you don't know what it means. Yeah. That's like textbook Google it. Bad idea. Hey,
Google it on your work telephone.
Here we go.
Don't you have a work phone?
Chambone. So
El chambone.
It's a piece of horse tack. It is a strap that runs forward from the bottom of the girth or circingle and forks. I still don't know what it is.
It's also an ice cream shop in Fort Worth, Texas. El Chambon Parateria. Look at that. All right, so Matt Quinney asks, tweet bag. He asked several, but we're going to hit his first one, his last one first. I need to hear Matt Mangum do his Boston Batman, #BostonBatman, one more time. Where's the Batmobile? Matt, I hate to do this to you, Matt Quinney. It was Adam that did the Boston Batman.
Sorry, El Chambon.
I'm not sure I can do it on command. Am I prepared for this?
Have read the tweet bag question. You knew this was coming, right?
I did know this was coming. I don't know. I'll throw it in someplace random, okay? Okay, Matt, it's coming, but I'm not going to do it right now. All right?
All right.
Okay. So, next up on the tweet bag from Facebook is Kurt Klein. If you have the opportunity to host a guest on this podcast in all of BYU history, who would it be and why? And Kurt says, can't be anyone from the 1996 football team. Haha, just kidding. Matt, that sounds like a draft to me.
Let's get us on the clock.
So, In the tradition of the Rise and Shout podcast, we will each make three selections of guests from all of BYU history who we would like to have on the Rise and Shout podcast.
So Matt, all of BYU history. This is not just BYU football or BYU sports?
Correct. He did not specify. So I am going, my draft board includes non-sports personas. So, Matt, because I'm magnanimous, because I'm full of magnanimity, because my name is Adam Magnanimous.
Wow, you're really getting a lot of mileage for this one.
It's the 250th episode. We got to bring it all. You got to leave it all on the podcast.
That's right. All right, leave it all on the recording. Leave it all on the tape. Where's the reel-to-reel in here anyway?
Yeah, it's in my basement, not yours. You don't even have a basement. You live in Texas.
You don't have basements here. They flood.
You record this at sea level.
I might be slightly below sea level, but my house didn't flood, so maybe I'm a little above.
Yeah, that's good for you. It's good for you. Nobody cares. So, Matt, your pick in the all-time BYU history draft. With the first pick in the draft, Matt selects.
I would select Lavelle Edwards, but I want to interview him in 1997.
What? Not 85. You want to interview him in 1997?
Yes, because I can talk to him about the two greatest seasons in BYU football history. Okay. If I interview him in 85, I'm only going to get the national championship year.
Okay. All right. Fair
and
enough.
And I won't get to ask him about Shane Yerbrook. So what do you think about Shane Yerbrook?
You don't even like Shane Yerbrook. You already said Butch Powell is your spirit animal.
That is not what I said. I said that Butch Powell had a chance at becoming my favorite BYU linebacker of all time.
Spirit animal. That's what you said.
I don't think I used the phrase spirit animal. I'm pretty sure.
Hashtag Butch Powell is Matt's spirit animal. I'm pretty sure that's what you said. All right. That's an excellent first choice, Matt. That's an excellent first choice. With my first pick and the second overall pick, and I get a little snake draft here, so I get to come back. And I get to pick two in a row. I'm going to pick someone you might have heard of. Steve Young.
Yeah, see, that was my... he's coming off the board. Scratch him off
the board. So Steve Young, of course, I met briefly one time very, very briefly. Seemed like a nice dude. There's a new book coming out. His autobiography is coming out, and I saw on Peter King had on his Monday Morning Quarterback column at SportsIllustrated.com some excerpts. It sounds like it'll be interesting. I did not realize, Matt, he has a lot of like anxiety and suffered from some anxiety as a football player. I had no idea.
Yeah, I did not know this.
Seemed very cool and collected to me whenever I watched him play. But it'll be fascinating to read that book. I believe is coming out in a week, October 11th. You can read that book. I will certainly be putting it on my shortlist. Matt, the next pick, I'm going to take a relative of his, a Mr. Brigham Young.
Oh, man. I should have took Brigham with the first pick.
Yeah.
Edwards would have come off the board, right?
Yes, Edwards would have come off the board. He would not have snuck back around. Edwards was not my first choice, but he was my second. So, Brigham Young, and I would like to interview him. I don't know. When would you interview Brigham Young? Like, right at the end of his life, right? To get like,
I think you'd have
everything.
To. You want
to
get the whole thing. Yeah, you want to get the whole story, thing. Right?
And I would like to bring him in the future and walk him across campus. You know, they always do little parodies. I'm sure every generation of BYU students, there's some parody of Brigham Young walking across campus and what he thinks about it. I would be actually fascinated. All right, Matt, your second and third picks.
See, you took my picks. You took my picks. I guess I shouldn't have been so naive as to think that Steve Young and Brigham Young would both still be on the board.
Both be still on the board? Come on, man.
Right? What was I thinking, right?
What were you thinking? I don't think you were thinking.
An idiot. I'm a failure.
Do you want me to just go ahead and make my pick and you can finish off?
No, because then it's going to be even worse. There's going to be even less people left and available. Yeah, I'm doing a little Google search right now. Sure.
Famous BYU graduates.
I used the term alumni, but yeah, maybe that is what I did. I'm going to stick with what I know. I'm going to stick with what I know. I think with my next pick, what would be pretty neat?
Stephanie Meyer. I knew you were going to take her. Done.
I was going to stick with football just because it's kind of a safe zone for me.
Yes, it is a safe zone.
I think a fun one would be Robbie Bosco.
Robbie Bosco.
You know, of where he's been in and around the program over the years, I think he'd have a pretty cool perspective, at least on BYU football over time. Yeah. I think that could be a really fun conversation.
Okay. Robbie Bosco. I can't disagree with you on that one. I like the choice. I really thought it'd be Stephanie Meyer because I know you are a massive fan of Twilight.
You're assuming I read books.
Well, if you read books, that would be at the top. That would be at the top, right?
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure. Sure.
This is a tough one. I debated back and forth about whether you do somebody sports or non-sports, but I decided I had to go with Danny Ainge.
Good choice.
I'm a huge Celtics fan. I'm a huge, of course, Danny Ainge fan. I'd love to talk to him about playing with Larry Bird. I'd love to talk to him about his days at BYU and some of the other stuff. One time I served him at Brick Oven. I set down a pizza at his table. It was very exciting. And one of the women I worked with, who was also a waiter, came back and after he had sat and said, "Why is everybody so excited for this Danny Ainge?"
Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge? That's great.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know how she messed it up, right? Because people were saying it right when she heard it. So, Matt, that is the definitive draft.
Except you skipped my pick. I should have gotten two there on the snake draft.
Well, if you're not fast enough, it's like the Minnesota Vikings a few years ago. They lost their pick. They didn't submit it in time. So are you going to take Danny Ainge?
Well, I would have taken Danny Ainge. Oh, my gosh. You took Danny Ainge away from me.
You're pathetic.
I'm going with Jim McMahon. Don't you think Jim McMahon would be fun on here?
He would be fun to have on the podcast.
I mean, you'd have a little bit of work to do with the editing after the show.
Yes.
But the Jim McMahon stories have got to be awesome.
What about Ken Jennings? The Jeopardy guy? No?
That one's not jumping out to me. That's but what about, what's out. His face, who was the marathon, the Olympic marathon guy, who's the stats professor, whose name is escaping me right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He seems like a pretty interesting guy. He'd be a good one.
Yeah, he does. He does. He does.
Ken Jennings.
Ken Jennings, yeah. What's wrong with Ken Jennings?
Ken Jennings. And no. you, and I know you were trying to use it as a joke against me, but you sure did say Stephanie Meyer's name a lot.
If I was going to pick an author, it'd be Brandon Sanderson. Or Orson Scott Card.
I was going to say, I'm kind of surprised you didn't start there with Orson.
Oh, Sanderson. I've read more words Sanderson has written than I've read what Orson Scott Card has written. Though, I've read a lot of both, so let's not joke around about that.
You know what else would be fun is either Elder Holland or Cecil O. Samuelson, just because they were both so popular as university presidents among the students during their tenures.
Well, Elder Holland, I think he was the last one to live on campus, right?
Yeah, I think that's
true.
They
lived in that house on campus. I remember our brother Don telling some stories, and I've heard some others of people, you know, you just run into, like, him and his wife just coming out of their house, you know? Like,
that's
hey,
awesome.
Hey, President Holland, how you doing? How about Philo Farnsworth? He invented the electronic television.
I thought about mentioning Philo just because in every communications class I ever took at BYU, he came up.
Yes, yes, he does. He does come up.
It's interesting how less common his name is the further you get away from Provo.
Yes, yes, I would say that. Anyway, Matt. Well, that was
what about Kyle Whittingham?
Stop it! I'm having a freaking Ute on my podcast. They're not welcome. So much for the civil rivalry, huh? All right,
yeah,
Matt.
There you go.
Let's do it. It's time for the CougarFan.com Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. First up, Matt, is number 3 in the world, or the country, women's soccer. They had a 0-0 draw with Santa Clara, and then a bounced back with an absolute thumping of San Francisco 4-0. Ashley wow. Hatch had her second hatch trick of the
hatch
year.
Hatch trick.
Three goals. I think she's scored, I was looking at this, she has scored more goals than several pretty decent women soccer teams have in the entire year by herself.
Okay, so she's above average.
She is a little bit above average. So they are now 10-1-1, 1-0-1 in the conference. Next up, road games. Thursday night, we're recording this on Tuesday night against Loyola Marymount, and then at Pepperdine. Matt, that Thursday game is on ESPNU.
We can really catch that on the U, huh?
On the U, yeah. So I'll be flipping between that and the Red Sox game one of the American League Division Series.
We're not supposed to. Don't talk about baseball.
I know. Our fans hate baseball.
They don't like it when we talk about baseball. Yeah. I was not going to mention that the Nationals start their playoff series this weekend as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Our fans, like in the survey, you people hate baseball.
Oh, my gosh. You guys are such haters.
What is wrong with you people?
Baseball.
We love
you,
though. You. Keep downloading and listening. Actually, just download. The listing part, you know, that you can take it or leave it. Matt, women's volleyball, number 13th in the world.
Lucky number 13.
Or the country. They lost to number 6 San Diego. Didn't take a set in that match. Amy Boswell did have a season-high 16 kills. That was their second loss of the year. They're 14-2, 3-1 in the WCC. This weekend they are back at home against St. Mary's. Let's take down the Gales. And Pacific, neither of those teams are particularly great, so it should be... Should be some wins this week at the Smithfield House, also available on BYU TV.
All right.
So Cougars in the pros, Matt. I forgot to put this on here, but let's start with this. Jimmer, lighting up the Rockets in a preseason game for his Shanghai Sharks, right?
The Shanghai Sharks. We still don't
points.
Know if that alliteration works, but...
No, not in Chinese. But he hit a half-court shot to end the third quarter, Matt.
Yeah.
On the 0-10 scale, how shocked are you? 0.5.
Oh, maybe 0.25.
0.25.
I still can't. I mean, listen, Jimmer can hit a shot from anywhere. He is the embodiment of that old Larry Bird, Michael Jordan commercial, off the backboard, over the court, from seat 12 and nothing but net.
It should be him and Stephen Curry now doing it.
Right. But, you know, for whatever reason, it just hasn't worked out for him in the NBA. But he's going to light this league up.
Yes, he will. It will be fun to watch some of the highlights. It was fun to see those highlights against the Houston Rockets.
And congratulations to the Fredettes, expecting, I believe they're expecting a baby girl.
Oh, I did not know that.
They announced that on, I think they announced that on Twitter. I hope I'm not spoiling the news. Was I supposed to keep it a secret?
Yeah, I think you're supposed to keep it a secret, man. That's not the kind of thing you share on a podcast. in the NFL this weekend, Ziggy Ansah is still hurt, and Detroit is struggling on defense, Matt. They can't find a pass rush without Ziggy, so hopefully he is back for week 5, though I haven't heard word as of when I checked the internet a few minutes ago. I didn't have any indication that he would be playing anytime soon. Kyle Van Noy, Matt, newsflash, did actually have 7 tackles. This is true.
This is a real statistic.
This is a real statistic. He played 71% of the defensive snaps, so a nice breakout game for Kyle Van Noy. And with their defense struggling, they can use all the playmakers they can get. For the Baltimore Ravens, Dennis Pitta had not as good of a game as he has had so far, just 3 catches for 17 yards. The Ravens struggled a bit. Daniel Sorensen played 36% of defensive snaps and almost all of the special team snaps. Did not have one of the 6 interceptions. The Kansas City got absolutely obliterated. So, embarrassing
they were
fashion.
Completely dismantled.
I turned on that game and I thought I was like something was wrong with the statistics, that the score was off. But apparently, Ben Roethlisberger and those Steelers are pretty good. And John Denny for the Dolphins, again, the long snapper, had 8 chances to not screw up, which he didn't on Sunday. So, Matt, it's time to talk football, okay? So we're not going to recap the game. You guys all watched it, blah, blah, blah. We're going to recap and talk about what's awesome, okay? And the first, we have to start with Jay Swag Daddy.
Oh, wow.
30 carries, 287 yards, 5 touchdowns. He tied the touchdown record and set a new single-game rushing record. Matt, holy buckets!
Yeah, that's pretty good. 287 yards.
Yeah, that's pretty. The thing is, he had a great game. He broke tackles. He hit the hole, whatever else. But this also, a big, huge portion of this goes to that offensive line, right?
Much improved run blocking.
I'm going to say much improved. Also, we're playing against a lesser defense.
Yeah. And the pass blocking, I think, still needs some work.
But they didn't. I mean, they didn't even run that many pass plays this week.
What did you need to?
You didn't. And you looked at, you know, Squally looked good too, not nearly as good as Jamal, but certainly gave you a little confidence that if we need to go to him sometime later in the year, it's going to be good, right?
Yeah, and eventually it's going to be his turn.
Yep, it's going to be his turn. So Matt, he is now 226 yards behind Harvey Unga, the all-time leading rusher at BYU. Matt, he's going to break this record. The question is when, right?
It might be this weekend.
No. Okay, but it might be the weekend after.
I got a little carried away.
So, Matt, I mean, is it the weekend after?
Actually, that might not be out of the question.
Is it against Mississippi State? I think it is.
A homecoming in Provo.
Yeah, it's the perfect time. It'd be fantastic. Crowd could give him a huge ovation.
Huge. It's going to be huge.
It's going to be huge. You'll love it.
It's going to be the best of all these standing
ovations. We've got fans, and you don't even know the fans I know. They're fantastic. They're absolutely unreal. So Matt, James Lowe on Facebook Axis? What podcast am I on?
I'm not sure. But you know that's actually the old English form of the verb.
Is it really?
It might not exactly be Old English, the word ask was actually axe before it became ask.
Are you making that up or is that true?
You may or may not remember that my undergraduate degree is in linguistics.
I also know that you have a tendency to tell stories like they're true when they're not.
Make stuff up. Yeah, I'm just gonna leave it up to you.
Like on our boys' weekend, did you or did you not say that the John Denver song West Virginia, what's the actual name of the song?
I don't know.
Sweet River or whatever. That song is about the Provo River. Didn't you say that? Wasn't that you that said that on that
track? No, I think I stole that joke from somebody, though. I think somebody had said it on Twitter. Oh, I think I stole it from somebody.
Stop, stop. You did not pass it off as a joke, brother. You passed it off as facts. Anyway, so James Lowe on Facebook asks us, I know it's early, but where does Jamal Williams rank all time among BYU running backs? Matt, we've talked about this before. I think you and I disagree about who the best running back in BYU history was. I think it's to this date. Well, who do you think it is? I'll let you go first.
I think it's Harvey Unga.
You think it's Mr. Harvey Unga?
Yeah, who do you think it is?
Come on. You know,
you're going to say Luke Staley.
Luke Staley. Obviously, Harvey has the best. Harvey has the best.
Yeah, Harvey just leads in all the statistical categories. I mean, whatever.
Well, he just had more opportunity, right? He got more carries. I mean, I'm not trying to, like, knock on Unga. He's fantastic.
Yeah, he is fantastic. He's the best.
Oh, he's the best. Who had a higher per carry average? Oh, Luke Staley. Huh, that's funny. Who had more touchdowns? Just curious.
Luke Staley.
I'm just saying Luke Staley was a beast. I think Jamal Williams, if he continues on this trajectory, at the end of the year, we proclaim him the best running back in BYU history.
I'm almost ready to do it right now.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the...
Put him on those teams. Put him on the Harvey Unga team. Put him on the Luke Staley team.
So think about the quarterbacking that he's played with, and I'm not trying to diss on Taysom, okay? But I'm just saying there has been... He was on that 2013 team that was the best rushing team ever. Outside of that, I can't say that you would say any of these were elite offensive teams that he played on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm with you. That's a very good point, Matt. Look at me, breaking out compliments and everything.
Wow, this must be a special episode of the Rise and Shout podcast.
Yes. Via email, Ben Anderson asks, Matt, describe the pain that would be inflicted on you if you were the one in the open field having to take down Algie Brown as he came to deliver a block, or as if he was running.
I'm not sure I could describe it. I don't know that I would ever feel it.
The fullbacks did a fantastic job, and not just Brown, with blocks that freed some of those big runs.
Yeah, they did a great job.
Fantastic, fantastic job. So, Matt, we're going to talk about something that's not as awesome, which is the defense, okay?
Usually awesome.
No. I said this a couple weeks ago, and everyone thought I was crazy. They have not played awesome this year. There's never at a point which they were at awesome. They were at good.
You haven't played awesome this year.
Jeez. That's true. That's true.
Heavy downer over here on the defense.
So what happened to the defense, asked Todd Ebert on Facebook. It went from great to terrible. Is it injuries, quality of competition? So, Matt, I got a few facts, all right, to throw at you. All right?
All right, facts. Those are pesky things.
Those are pesky. Hey, that's a John Adams quote. Well, good for you, buddy.
Every once in a while, I go highbrow.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Next, we will quote real genius. In the immortal words of Socrates, I drank what? So the offense they've played so far and their rankings according to Football Outsiders S&P offensive rankings. You ready?
Let's do it.
Arizona was the 34th best offense so far in the country. Pretty good. And the BYU defense played well in that game. Utah was 64th. How do you think the BYU offense did, knowing that Utah's offense was below average? Doesn't look so good that game when you think of it that way. UCLA 37th, good offense for sure, but not a world-beating offense, and the defense looked okay. West Virginia 32nd, the defense did not look good at all. I would say against West Virginia. Do you disagree?
I can't disagree with that.
The wheels came off against Toledo, who is at this point in the season is ranked 16th in the country, according to Football Outsiders, in offensive production. Matt, opponents are part of this. Injuries are part of this. The defense was never great to begin with. They were just good. And when you take two of their top three or four players, with Warner as a corner and Powell in the middle of the field, you saw the results of that against Toledo.
Yeah, but yeah.
So what's the problem, Matt? I mean, Andre Hutchins on Facebook says, is D-line the team's biggest problem? Matt, is that the biggest problem?
I think I don't want to just lay this squarely on the D-line, but the pass rush, I think, is the biggest problem right now. There is zero pressure back there. None. And if you can't put any pressure on somebody, you can stop up the run on first and second down and put somebody in a third and seven, third and eight or longer situation. But if you can't pressure the quarterback, they're going to have time to convert that into a first down and keep a drive alive.
Yeah.
Right. And so if you can't pressure the quarterback, you can go with the 3-man rush and drop everybody back into coverage. But if that quarterback's got all day, eventually someone's coming open.
Yes, eventually someone's coming open. And, I the defensive backs, I thought, did pretty well this week. That quarterback, holy buckets, he made some NFL-caliber throws. Across the field, to the edge, back shoulder. I mean, I was super impressed with Mr. Woodside. I thought he is the best quarterback we've played this year. Better than Rosen.
Yeah, he may be.
I think he's playing right now, and I've now watched Rosen play three times this year. I've watched three UCLA games. He's okay. I don't think he's to Woodside's level and to some other quarterbacks.
But he'll get much more love from NFL scouts than Woodside will.
Oh, of course. He's got the pedigree. He plays at UCLA, tougher schedule, that kind of thing. And it makes part of it will make sense. But Woodside made some throws. And again, I've never watched that guy play except for the game against BYU. And I was absolutely blown away by how good he was. I just didn't expect that, Matt. So let me offer you this. You said this about the defensive line, the pass rush. Completely agree. I'm going to say they're also not very good against the run. I'm going to say that it's fact-based. They're giving up 4.24 yards, which is better than last year. They look terrible tackling against Toledo.
Yeah, the tackling seems to have been getting progressively worse, and really got to the hopefully as bad as it's going to be against Toledo.
Well, when
just
Powell
whiffs.
Out,
I mean, just flat out whiffs.
You take out your best tackler, but the crazy part about the Toledo game, Matt, was BYU's defense gave up over 12 yards per pass play. That's not per completion. That's all total plays. Mm. That is atrociously bad. But here's the thing. We haven't kept the team under 7 yards per pass play since Arizona, including a mediocre Utah passing team. And, obviously West Virginia did a little bit better, but gosh, Matt, that looked bad. Perfect storm, or are you super worried about this defense going forward if Powell can't play for a week or two?
I don't know. I mean, at this point, it becomes kind of what is the competition you're up against, right? And we're going to talk about Michigan State here in a minute. But I think you go through Michigan State and Mississippi State. I don't know that, to be honest, I don't know that I love Butch, and he may end up being one of my favorite or my favorite BYU linebacker of all time.
And your spirit animal.
I don't know that his absence is such a game changer.
I think
he sparks the rest of the defense, and he lays these nasty hits on people, and he'll pick up tons of tackles. Right, he'll make a lot of tackles, and that may shorten some of the average yards per play and these kinds of things that you're talking about. But there are so many things at work here with the defense that, I don't know that it changes the outcome of a game.
Yeah, yeah.
By himself.
Yeah,
that's really hard to do on the defensive side of the football.
Yeah, I disagree. I think it's a domino effect, right? Like, if he's plugging up the middle, that frees up other players to do other things, right? One of the things that killed us against Toledo was Nacua having to come up and play the run because we couldn't play it with seven guys in the box.
And he bit hard on some of those play fakes, which is what gave up a lot of those deep passes.
Those deep passes. If Powell is in that lineup, I don't think he has to do that. So that improves. It's crazy, but it improves your pass game, your pass defense. And what you said about the defensive line, we can't say this enough. I thought Michael Davis and the rest of the defensive backs played well with a few plays where they did not. Okay, and clearly there were a few plays, missed coverages, and or just didn't make the right decisions. But, there was two sacks and a couple of pressures, but he didn't, like, he completed, what, like 20-something passes in a row?
Yeah, insane.
He only had a couple of incomplete passes in the second half. You know, nobody was in his face. And I have to say, Corbin Kaufusi is not as much of a force as I thought he might be. He's really having a hard time getting off blocks. And, you know, we needed another dynamic person on the edge to take some pressure off of Longy, and we don't have somebody else on the other side of the football so far this year to take that pressure off. So, Matt, our brother Sam asks this via text. Do you think the defense will continue to get worse if the offense continues to improve, like a zero-sum game? Matt, how ridiculous is Sam's questions?
I think Sam just wanted to use the phrase zero-sum game in a question.
I did. I think he did.
So, and it works. It's well-placed.
Points for you, Sam. But no, these two things are not connected. I think the defense will look a lot better this week playing against, spoiler alert, a terrible Michigan State offense. So we'll get to that here in a second. El Chambon, again, Matt, on the tweet bag. Rhett Allman has made more kicks, has as many game-winning kicks, and no missed PATs. Yeah, he does. He has a missed PAT, doesn't he?
Where the whole thing started?
Oh, man, I didn't even look this up. I'm looking it up, Matt. He's basically asking, why all the love for Oldroyd when Rhett's been in there doing the work? Matt?
Nobody's interested in anybody who's doing the work. They're interested in the sexy game-winner. Guess what, folks? That was Oldroyd in his green cleats.
A 19-yard game winner is not the same.
Oh, yeah. It's not the same. And to come in, like, and the whole thing about it, we weren't even sure he was going to travel. I mean, it was just like the story was just too good. That's why he's getting all that love.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic.
You know, and you look at the kid. I mean, he's just a kid. He doesn't even shave yet.
So, Matt, think of it this way.
I don't know if he might. Hopefully he shaves or they're not going to let him into the testing center.
2-point win versus Arizona. 1-point loss to Utah. 3-point loss to UCLA. 3-point loss to West Virginia. 2-point win versus Toledo. We are extremely close, the Cougars, of being 5-0 and just as close to being 0-5.
Yep.
This has been an absolutely insane year.
It's one of the craziest things I've ever seen in my entire life.
I have lost a lot of my life.
I've lost hair. I think that I am balder now than I was at the beginning.
Yeah, Allman has missed. He missed an extra point against Arizona. That's how this all started.
That's how it all got started.
On the field. But he is a perfect 5-for-5 on field goal attempts, though none of them have been longer than 32 yards. I don't think they trust him to do long-distance kicks. But maybe that missed extra point was a complete aberration. You know? It just unfortunately for him happened to happen at an inopportune moment right at the beginning of the year. But hey, he's kicking now, so nothing to be worried about. So Matt, Joel Everett on Twitter. I missed a question. Let's go back. Sorry, Joel. All right. We're coming back. Gary Payne on Facebook is a first time face bagger. He's worried, Matt, about some things Detmer and Satake talked about the first couple of weeks about giving ourselves a chance to win. That's where we want to be. Reminds him of playing not to lose. Can't we just win? Thoughts. So, Matt, I'll start there. What are your thoughts? Do you interpret Detmer and Satake's comments the way Gary did?
I don't see these two phrases really being the same. And I understand the discomfort around the playing not to lose, right? I mean, and I think that when you play not to lose, that's when you lose.
Troy Aikman's on the podcast, guys.
Oh, jeez.
Captain Obvious, when you're playing not to lose, you lose. Thanks, Troy.
So this thing about giving ourselves a chance to win, that's where we want to be. I mean, that's kind of coach speak for we want to be in the game in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
We want to be in a position to win the game. So you're either up by 21 points in the fourth quarter or you're within striking distance of a win. That's what Detmer and Satake are talking about, is that they want the game to be competitive in their favor at the end. They want to always have a shot. So, and that's really what they're talking about, is if you're not going to blow them out, you want to keep it close enough that you're in striking distance. And that's a little bit different than the playing not to lose. The playing not to lose, you know, when that's really your approach, you're doing things like, you know, you're messing around with the clock a lot more, trying to run the clock, put together these big long drives. But really what these guys, I mean, they're much more aggressive than a playing not to lose mentality. How many times have we gone for two? I think there's a question about that over here later. But the decision making, some of it you love, some of it you hate. But overall, I feel like the decision making, especially on offense here, has been extremely aggressive. The mentality here is, we're always going to take the chance or do what we've got to do to be in a position to win the game.
Yeah, I'm with you. I just think that's coach speak after some tough close losses to keep people motivated, right? You claim moral victories so that people don't feel like the games were a waste, right? They're playing the long game, right? Not just the season, but also as coaches long term. So. Yep. I don't have any problem with the way they phrased it. Detmer and Satake don't really strike me as non-competitive types, so I don't think they're comfortable with losing, either of them. You can ask that official who missed the guy going out of bounds and then catching the ball if he thinks.
What an awful, awful, awful call! Huh?
But they came back and redeemed themselves with an equally awful face mask that wasn't a face mask against Jamal.
Total phantom face mask. Well, no. It was a face mask. It's just what you don't know is that Jamal was keeping a face mask in his shirt.
Hit his shoulder pad.
And that's what the guy grabbed. It was his second face mask.
Yeah, and that, you know, but to be fair, I thought it was a face mask live.
And that's the thing. The ref, like, when they see somebody's head dip down and get whipped around like that, from that angle, they're going to throw the flag. And yep. in real time, that's going to look like a face
Man,
mask.
Man, if only we had the technology to correct those kind of mistakes.
Man, technology. Dang it. So great. I love technology.
It would be so good if we only could do something like that.
Anywho. I love technology.
Anywho, so Joel, we're finally to your question. That's at Jevrit11 on Twitter. Do you feel more or less confident about the future of the program through the first five games of the season, Matt? It's time for you to get to basically say, If you're happy with the Kalani Sitake hire.
I feel like this is a really big question to hang on five games.
It is, but he's asked it. You have to answer it. That's what we do here. We don't dodge questions. We're not a politician.
Watch this.
We're not vice presidential candidates.
Totally about to dodge this question.
Oh, boy.
I don't know that I feel any more or less confident about the future of the program after the first five games of the season.
I feel more confident.
But there are a couple things that I do like. Okay.
Oh, see, now you're backtracking because I gave a strong.
Yeah, now that I feel like I've got a little bit of support for the positive, sure, I'm going to jump after that.
Yeah. Yep.
There's a couple things I like. One of them I talked about before. The play calling, especially offensively, appears to me to be pretty aggressive. And, you know, which I know sounds weird because we don't take shots down the field, but who after all they've been through opens up with that play against Toledo? Who does that? That
Ty
ball
Detmer.
Was going to Treneman all day, and they had decided to open up the game with that play a week beforehand.
Oh, yes. And it was a perfect throw. Now, I still don't feel great about Taysom throwing deep. He is now over
20. He hit right in stride.
Over 20 plus yards. He's now 5 of 25. But Matt, his completion percentage in that mid-range of 10 to 19 yards has climbed over 50%. You can't sleep on him any longer within just 10 yards. He had enough plays over the last two games that teams are going to have to respect. They're not going to have to, you know, always have two safeties back or anything, but they're not going to be able to just play one-on-one coverage on the edge. Especially most of the teams we have remaining on the schedule don't have the corners to pull that off, and they'll get burnt by Trinneman and or Kurtz or one of the other wide receivers. So,
but just coming back here to Joel's question, just to come full circle here, I'm going to say more confident because of what we just talked about here, right? Some of the aggressive play calling, but I think that these guys are climbing up a learning curve that's very steep, and they're headed up it very quickly. Part of that is a function of the schedule that they're playing. Part of that is just the personalities on the staff. So, and I think as they continue to install the things they have in mind, I think we've got good things ahead for BYU football with this staff.
I completely agree. Christopher Scott Hill on Facebook, he happens to be married to my wife's sister.
I believe that makes him your brother-in-law.
Yeah, but that's confusing, brother-in-law.
Yeah, that's confusing.
Very confusing.
Nobody knows what that means.
Anyway, never mind. What is your take on the inordinate number of two-point... He's in medical school, so he has to use big words. Inordinate number of two-point conversions the team has attempted this season. Overconfidence or just a lot of beneficial situations? Matt, it comes back to this question that Gary asked, and you referenced the two-point conversions. I think they're doing it too often, statistically speaking. For example, against West Virginia, I think they went for one that they shouldn't have in the early part of the game. Matt, what's your take on the two-point conversions?
I disagree with the one you just cited. It was, I believe, towards the end of the first half in the West Virginia game. That one didn't make any sense to me. It was too early and on the road. I disagree with the call to go for two in the Utah game. The rest of those, now there are a couple others in here, right, that
yep.
I kind of vaguely remember, but it seems to me that the rest of those are just situational football. And because we've been in some close games in some, you know, odd scoring total games, sometimes you get into a spot there where you need to go for two. It's highly rare for a team to play this many close games. 100% of the games to be as close as they have been this year. So it's not too odd to me that they've been in a little bit more, they've been more often in situations where a 2-point conversion would at least be considered. So for the most part, I really don't have an issue with it, except for those two.
Okay. Totally different question before we go into the Michigan State preview. We're about to hit that, Matt. Cooler. What's cooler? Johnny Linehan's little wave during the Kalani Sitake postgame, or Butch Powell trying to give the ball to the official ignored him, and then he does kind of a slow man walk off the screen running with the ball?
I'm going to go with Linehan's wave.
Did you see the Powell play, though?
Yeah, I did, the Powell play. That's a phrase that needs to be used.
The Powell play. I'm going with Butch. I thought that was... I thought the comedic value in the middle of a tense football game was off the charts. I didn't even see it. And one of the people we were watching the game said, did you see that? And I had to go back. And I laughed. And I don't usually laugh during tense BYU football games. I'm not a
barrel of fun. You're not a nervous laugher?
No, people are making jokes and I'm saying, this is not a time for joking.
I will tear out your throat.
That's right.
That was a little aggressive. Escalated quickly.
Yeah, it did escalate quickly, Matt. Okay, so Matt, Michigan State is not good.
Nope.
What we thought could be the toughest game on the schedule this year is not likely, quite frankly, to be one of our top five difficult games. I just said it, Matt.
It's a birthday party. We're serving cupcakes.
We're serving cupcakes, and they're green and called Sparty. So Matt, as of right now, the Macy ratings and Jeff.
Yeah. Okay. I I wondered Massey, about this same Macy, thing.
I don't care.
It's got to be Massey. I wondered the same thing, but I didn't want to call you out on it. But I love it. I love it when Jeff calls you out on this stuff. Love it.
It's an internet thing. Who knows? I've never heard anybody reference it. It's not like Mac Brown was referencing that before he left. Holy cow!
What was that all about? Are we going to get to that? You know why he left, right?
Let's do it right now.
You know why he left? Because last time he stayed till the end of the game, he got fired. Oh!
I'll tell you what. That whole... Okay, I am tired of ESPN crews that clearly haven't watched tape of the teams. I'm sorry. And the reason I know is because I watch a lot of BYU football. But now, some of these announcing teams, I can't respect them when I listen to their other games. Because, guys, what are you doing with your week?
The funny thing is, you know, they were in Provo for days. They did all those interviews. There's all that footage of them hanging out with Taysom.
Oh, Taysom. Good can't even, gravy,
oh my
Mac.
Goodness, man. And they're talking to Jamal and Taysom. And they, you know, but they still don't know anything. And how do you leave? Where's he going? I've got to beat the traffic.
ESPN.
He had a game the next night. You can't put him on a plane tomorrow morning.
ESPN scheduled the time, right? Like,
oh my
gosh. It wasn't like BYU said, we'd really like to have a really light game.
And who was it on the sideline? Was it Molly McGrath on the sideline?
No, it wasn't Molly McGrath. Was it Molly McGrath? I forget her name.
Can't she go up to the booth so that
that's
the dude's not
just
sitting up there by himself, just like talking?
Actually, no joke, I thought he got better when Mac was gone. No joke. I thought he did a better job. I thought he just kept it, and he threw some stuff out, and he tried to be funny. Some fell flat, some worked. But I actually thought he did a better job. Adam Amin. Yeah, I thought he did a better job, and usually I like him. The combination of the two of them was not working for me. I think he is in that, Troy Aikman, Captain Obvious.
He's mailing it in. Brown's just mailing it in.
No, I don't think he's mailing in. I just don't think everybody's a good announcer just because you're a coach. I don't think that qualifies you to be a good announcer. It doesn't necessarily mean you'll have interesting things to say on air. You know what I mean? Like Lavelle Edwards, he would have been terrible. Right?
It would have been hilarious.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Mac Brown doesn't need to be an announcer, right? He can, I think he's better in studio than as a color man. But anyway.
Does he really need a job?
No. But he's got to stay busy. He doesn't want to be bored. So, Matt.
Stay sharp. You know,
let's get
sharp.
To know the Spartans a little bit. All right?
All right.
They're bad. Okay?
You keep coming back to this point.
They lost to the Hoosiers. All right.
And we all know how we feel about the Hoosiers
So right now, Sports Reference, Football Outsiders has them as the 58th best team. Okay.
Yikes.
74th best offense. That will be the worst offense we've played all year. A decent defense ranked 26th, Matt. So watch that. Offensive players to watch, no one. Just kidding. Donnie Corley is the freshman wide receiver, 6'2", freshman. He is quite good if they can find him the ball. I imagine that Michael Davis will be on him or their other outside wide receiver. I'm trying to think of his name. But on the defense, I like their defensive back, Demetrius Cox, 27 tackles, a defensive back who leads your team in tackles, man.
That is bad. We've covered that on the show before, everybody.
Yep.
You do not want a defensive back leading your team in tackles.
Unless you're running the 3-3-5 and that defensive back's name is, why can't I think of it? New Mexico, Chicago. Urlacher. Unless his name is Urlacher and you're in the 3-3-5, that's a bad deal. So Matt, according to Football Outsiders and several other computer rankings, BYU is substantially ranked higher. 39th yep. by Football Outsiders versus 58th. Football Outsiders is calling this for the Cougars. BYU's offense is 29th in the country, a lot better than I would have thought at the beginning of the year than they would be. And the defense is 60th, as we've talked about, not as good as we thought they might be, especially after those first couple of games. But Matt, this is no longer we're going to get blown out. And let's just be happy if we're in it in the fourth quarter type of game. This is a game that is winnable.
Yes, it is.
The Spartans are reeling. We're coming off a dramatic win. They're coming off a dramatic loss. We'd get an extra day's rest. I don't know if that means anything or not, but with some of our injury issues, it might be the difference between somebody playing or not, or traveling with the team or not. Any thoughts, Matt, on the Spartans and their very disappointing season so far?
I think they've got to be just as surprised as we are, right? I mean, this is a team that I know I expected them to be extremely competitive this year on a national level, based on what happened last year. But it, you look the personnel; they've had some pretty serious turnover in some important places, and have just not been able to put it together. I mean, you look at their schedule; they've really, I mean, you know, you talked about just, you know, what happened to them last week, but you know, the loss, they got smoked by Wisconsin.
Absolutely, okay? Dismantled. I watched that game.
They beat a Notre Dame team that I'm not sure is very good.
They don't appear to be very good.
And they beat Furman. They only beat Furman 28-13. I don't even know what a Furman is. Isn't that a kids' TV show? So I just don't know that that there's any evidence here that this team is very good at all.
Well, I've heard a few people on social media say, "Well, maybe Indiana's better than we think." They're not.
Okay, newsflash, everybody. They're not better than you think. They're probably worse than you think they are. And they're going to lose to Purdue later this year.
No, they're not.
Come on.
Purdue's terrible. Did you see that Maryland game?
It's bad.
Can they just fire the coach already and be done with it and hire the Mad Hatter? Let's bring in the Mad Hatter.
That'd be great if they did with the new AD. It'd be great.
Yeah, well, we'll
not going to happen. But yeah, don't hold your breath. Don't hold your breath. But this Michigan State team, I mean, they haven't looked good all year.
So let me rephrase: they are a mediocre team. Okay, mediocre to bad, somewhere in that range. All right, they were on the road at Indiana, but got dismantled by a good Wisconsin team, a very good Wisconsin team, at home. Their offense is not very good. The good news for us is their defense is good but not elite, and their offense, I think, will have trouble moving the ball, even against BYU's wounded defense. Matt, I may be previewing my pick a little bit here.
You seem to be tipping your hand a little bit.
So, Matt, Michigan State is inexplicably favored. The line opened, I think, at 4 or 4.5. It's now up to 6.
Yeah.
Vegas is counting the money, Matt.
Well, they're going off of big names. I mean, there's a lot of college football games, and this happens a lot. If you're a BYU fan, this happens a lot if you watch BYU lines.
Yep.
We go up against a team like Michigan State, and everyone's like, "Oh, it's a Big Ten, Michigan State. They were Final Four last year." None of these guys have time to watch all the games.
This line should be about 2.5 or 3 for Michigan State. That's where it should be, based on how the two teams have performed so far this year. So, Matt, obviously, I am taking the under. I'm taking BYU on this, on the line of +6. I assume you are too?
Yes, I am. We've already covered this. I will always predict for the rest of the season that the spread will be closer than advertised.
Okay. All right. So over under 50 points total for the two teams, Matt. I'm taking the under and by a lot.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm taking the over.
Okay. What? Okay. Over-under yards for Jamal Williams, I'll set it at 115.
Oh, over.
I'm taking the under. Taysom passing yards, over-under 250. Matt, I'm taking the over.
Also taking the over.
Taysom rushing yards, over-under 90. Matt, I'm taking the over.
I'm taking the under.
I think they're going to load the box against Jamal. I think Taysom is going to have a big day rushing on bootlegs. Kind of that run-pass option, bootleg type of option, and I think he'll be able to get it over the top. And we have tight ends now, Matt. Haven't we noticed that?
We have a tight end.
Yeah, we have a tight end. He catches the ball and everything. Fascinating.
Sometimes he blocks. Sometimes he catches it.
He runs
routes.
It's pretty awesome. So he's got 5 catches. Baldry, 5 catches. Three of them were against Toledo, right? He has yet to not catch a ball thrown at him. No drops, Matt.
Hey, everybody, circle up here. Let's pay attention. That's important. All right. Let's all try and catch the ball like Baldry.
Drops. Do you know who also has only Two drops between the two of them. Kurtz and Treneman.
Hmm.
I'm going to tell you, Taysom, target those three guys this weekend.
Yeah, that seems to have a high percentage
Baldery,
of success.
Kurtz, Treneman, and mix in a little, you know, Colby Pearson in there as well.
Not too much.
You know, just
don't
just
overdo it now.
Just the right amount. Over under total yards for Michigan State 407. Matt.
Ooh, under.
I'm also taking the under. So it's very clear where I'm going, Matt. BYU 21-14. Matt?
21-14. Interesting.
21-14.
So, is it my turn now?
Yeah.
I'm also going with a BYU victory here, and I've got a slightly different pick on final score.
You're a homer.
I got BYU 31, Michigan State 21.
Matt, this is Crazyville. A week
by the,
ago.
By the way, you'll notice that I. Anyway, whatever. Sorry, I'll stop. Go ahead. Week ago, what?
A week ago, we were both picking Michigan State to easily win this game. And now we are both picking Michigan State to lose this game.
Tyler O'Connor's thrown 5 interceptions this year. 5! And only 8 touchdowns. You don't think Kainaku was taking one of those away?
And to the house for 6. Possibly. So, Matt, does BYU beat Mississippi State? The answer is yes. They're not very good either.
I think that they do.
Okay. Then Boise State on the Smurf turf. Matt, they get destroyed.
Yeah, I'm afraid that one's not going to work out. Sorry, Coots.
That's not going to be a victory.
Sorry, it's not going to be our day.
Cincinnati, also not good on the road. I'm picking the Cougs. Matt?
Yeah, for now.
SUU, I'm picking the Thunderbirds. Just kidding.
That's crazy talk.
Then UMass is terrible, and Utah State is terrible. I am not worried about that game. Matt, it's 8-4 if we're right.
Wait a minute. We're saying, like, we right now, we are so pumped up after this loss.
No.
After this win.
No, it's not about.
We are so pumped up that we're predicting one loss the rest of the way.
This isn't about being pumped up. It's about the remainder of our schedule. Okay? Cincinnati does not look good. Okay? Mississippi State looks mediocre. That one's at home. Michigan State is reeling. Boise looks fantastic, by the way. So that's the aberration here. UMass is, you know, it's terrible. And Utah State, this is their second year row of being bad. So let's stop thinking about them as the Matt Wells coached Aggies. They are not anymore. Or they. Is that their current coach? Anderson. Gary Anderson coach. I'm like, no, that's their current coach, idiot.
Impressed with the job Matt Wells is doing in Logan. Yeah. Adam goes ahead and just talks about him like he's not there.
Well, it could be. So, Matt, I think it could be 8-4. This schedule does not look anywhere near as good as it did in the preseason.
No, it does. Right. It doesn't look as good as it did 10 days ago.
No, yeah. I mean, this may be not as tough as 2013 season. We talked about that at the beginning of the year that, you know, these schedules have a way of morphing on you in the middle of the year in ways you did not anticipate. And yes, I did just use the word morph.
Of course you did. That's a geeky word.
That is a geeky word. But Matt, we're an hour and 2 minutes into this podcast. Are we done? The answer is no.
No, we are not sir. Done.
Because in the 250th episode, we must play Answering Machine.
Yes.
So I will try to explain the game of Answering Machine to our listeners. This is how it works.
Love this. This is always bad.
We pick. Oh gosh, I can't even. I had practiced it.
I got in your head. I'm in your head now.
Got in my head. Gosh, come on.
You
man.
Will mess up this explanation.
So here it is. You are going to call someone. Okay. Oh gosh. Okay.
Who's calling who now?
Don't get the point of it. The point is, one of us calls somebody. It's an answering machine. We pick who that person is. The other person has to put a message on said answering machine. Boom. Done. Terrible explanation. Done. You'll figure it out as we go along. All right. Matt, you're up first. Give me a call, and then I will give you the message.
Stop. Okay. I'm going to call now. Just stop talking. You're ruining it. All right.
Just I can't. So who's talking?
I don't know. I just dialed. You're supposed to now. I dial a number. You're now going to pretend to be the voicemail of some.
Okay.
Eric, somebody at least tangentially related to what we're doing here. And then I'm going to leave that person in my true form. Those of you who are new to the show, I am very bad at leaving voicemails. This is true in this game. It is true in real life.
Yes,
at work, I do not leave voicemails with people. If I call you and you do not answer, you are likely about to receive a text message because I am not leaving a message. Or guess what? We've all got cell phones now. You see that I called. What do you need me to say? Hey, it's me. Call me back. That message is useless. That's gonna result in one of those, like, the notification icon on my phone, and then I got to go delete it. I'm not doing that to you. I will send you a text. But for the purposes of this game, I will leave a rambling voicemail that will be even worse than the rant I just went on. Now I am dialing the number, okay, and you are going to be someone's voicemail.
I will be the voicemail.
All right. Now, apparently this is it's a long distance call, but inside the U.S.
Yes.
Beep, 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 beep. Ring, ring.
Hello, you've reached the voicemail of Bob Bowlsby, Commissioner of the Big 12. If you are interested in joining our conference, press 1 to enter your application. Press 2 if you're a press person calling to have a nonsensical interview with myself or one of the other university presidents. And press 3 if, like Matt Mangum of the Rise and Shout podcast, you don't think we'll be around in 6 years. This is Bob Bowlsby of the Big 12. Thank you for calling.
Bob, Bob, Bob. Bob, Bob, Bob. I pressed 3, but I'm still going to leave a message. All right, Bob, listen. And I'm going to keep saying your name like that, Bob. Let's just make a decision already. Stop dragging this out, okay? If we're going to expand, let's expand. If we're not going to expand, let's all move on and stop talking about it, all right? At this point, I don't even care. I don't even care what you do, all right? Let's make a decision. We all know if you're going to expand, that BYU's in. It's the only logical choice. Anything other than that would just be asinine. So if we're going to do this, let's get it done. Let's move on before your conference becomes irrelevant. Thanks and have a good day. I'm still going to follow this up with a text message because I'm a little bit worried that you won't listen to my message. All right. Anyway, call me back if you get a chance. If not, that's cool too. You can just text me. Anyway. All right. Well, okay. We'll talk later. Bye.
That was as awkward as promised.
I had to try there at the end.
You had to throw in a little more awkwardness. Do I have to edit out the word asinine, or do we not have a censor after an hour?
I think
it perfectly describes
the late part of the show. We're good, but I don't know that asinine comes from the root word that you're thinking it does. Anyway,
is that the root word I'm thinking of?
I think it is.
Okay.
I think it is. Hey, seriously though, this is just so old.
It's a freaking circus.
It is such a mess.
My brother-in-law Christopher Scott Hill asked something about that in his question that we didn't end up reading. None of our 2-3 record has nothing to do with this. None of this has anything to do with this. On the field. If BYU doesn't get in, it will be because of not football. But even if BYU gets in, this is a circus. Having a bunch of schools that are never going to be in is just having them like apply and submit this stuff. It's humiliating. It's just terrible.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
I'm not sure I would even want to be part of the Big 12 anymore, and I'm not even joking. I really feel that way.
It's like that ESPN Sports Center commercial where they have the guys watching film of themselves with famous athletes.
Yes.
And there's the one where Scott Van Pelt on the film, he's just spinning around in circles and he turns to who he's got like the mascot, like the Astros mascot or something in the room with him. He's like, I'm embarrassed.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what the Big 12 expansion conversation has turned into. We are all watching tape of ourselves spinning around in circles talking about this ridiculous topic when nothing, it might just be that nothing happens.
Yes, it could be nothing happens, or it could be something happens, and then to your point, the league dissolves in 5 years anyway, right? So, because, yeah. I think it's revealed that this group of 10 schools is highly dysfunctional as a group. All right, Matt, I'm going to call you, and you are going to have a message for me to leave a message for. See?
Jeez.
Was that better? All right, here we go.
I don't know. I don't know.
Doop, 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 doop. Ring, ring.
Hello, you've reached the voicemail of the official that didn't see that receiver step out of bounds last weekend. I may not work for the Pac-12, but I'm also still pretty sensitive about UCLA coach Jim Mora's comments about Pac-12 officiating and basically anybody's comments about officiating in general. So if you're going to leave me a message about the fact that I didn't see a guy step about, oh, I don't know, 30 feet out of bounds and then come in and catch a pass, just go ahead and don't leave a message at all and feel free to send me a text. All right, well, I guess that's it then. I'll talk to you later. Beep.
Hello, Mr. Official. This is Boston Batman. I thought your call was absolutely terrible. I mean, some guy that was out there packing his car, he could have seen that better than you did. It was absolutely atrocious. I think, even though I respect you guys and how you dress in black, because I always work in black and really dark gray, but I thought that was absolutely terrible. I think you should leave the stadium in shame and never come back. And that's all, because I'm Batman. Drop the mic? Do I get to drop the mic?
I don't even know what to do there. I'm just glad you got in the pack in the car. I'm glad you worked that in.
Yeah, yeah. I had no idea who you were going to give me for this, because we don't tell each other ahead of time so we can be surprised. It didn't matter who you gave me. I was answering as Boston Batman.
Well, then I'm glad I gave you the one I did.
Have you seen the video with Matt Damon and Ben Affleck mooning
yes.
over Tom Brady?
Oh, so funny.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely awesome. Though I'm not sure what Damon, what role is he growing his hair out for?
I think they filmed that when he was doing that that movie about the Great Wall of China. I think it was just an old video.
Oh, because he had that the man bun going on there.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to get reception in major urban areas.
Yeah. Well, Matt, this has been our 250th episode. We're not actually at our 6th anniversary. That happens next month, so we'll probably milk that again next month. But we're still calling this our 6th anniversary spectacular. Matt, we'll be back next week, I think on Monday night, though Matt and I need to figure out that exactly because of the Friday night game that's coming up on the next week. Other than that, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/riseandshout. On Twitter at @BYU_riseandshout. And you can email the podcast at riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. That's one word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. Matt, any parting thoughts on our 250th episode?
It's pretty crazy. I was excited when we got 2.5 episodes in. So 250 is pretty cool.
Yes.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. And the interaction we're getting right now is awesome. It makes it a lot of fun. So I appreciate it, everybody.
We have never had this fall has been the best interaction we've gotten from our listeners. And we really do appreciate it. All of the tweet bag questions as well as just feedback. We'll, of course, be doing a halftime show against Michigan State. The plan is for me to do that.
Because mine was a little awkward.
Well, people were depressed at halftime against Toledo. I'm hopeful that people will be a little bit more excited. But I obviously have totally shot my voice by doing Boston Batman, so I think we're going to call it a night. But
you might have to do the whole halftime show as Boston Batman.
Well, I've got.
Let's not take it off the table.
Yeah, let's leave it as a possibility. Well, thank you everybody for downloading and listening. We appreciate it as always, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!